Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Now this is a great little study here, because it deals with the word of truth. Let's read the passage and then we'll continue. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So it's just a nice little passage here, but what we want to notice is that in verse 5, he talks about this. In the end of the verse 5, he says, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So we want to talk today about the word of truth. But now let's look first of all at these first three verses and know that Paul has a typical opening. And we gave a lot of detail on this when we studied the book of Galatians and the book of Ephesians. Paul talking about his apostleship, and we've dealt with that. And that his apostleship came by the will of God and not by the will of men. And he addresses this as a letter not only from him, but also from Timotheus, who was basically like a son to him in the ministry. And then he tells you who he's addressing the letter to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ at Colossae. And then he grants them the four greetings, grace, peace, thanksgiving, and prayer. Then he goes into a list of the things in the church that are produced by the word of truth. These things you cannot get without the word. These are things that you cannot get without the word of truth. Notice he doesn't just say the word or the word of God, but the word of the truth of the gospel, because obviously there's been an awful lot of things portrayed as the gospel which are perverted. Paul talks about another gospel, which is not really another gospel, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. A lot of people hammering out something that's not true according to God's word. Now, these things that you cannot get without the word are things that people are lacking who neglect the Bible. They lack this in all of the areas that we're going to look at today, and they lack it desperately, desperately. Now, notice, the word of truth produces, seven different things we're going to look at in the text. First of all, the word of truth produces faith in Christ. Look at verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. You can't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ without the word of truth. It's not possible. Notice back here in Romans chapter 10, great, great chapter in the Bible on faith and preaching and salvation. Romans chapter 10, look at verse 8. But what saith it? And now the thing he's talking about is righteousness which is of the faith, which is of faith. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. You know something? Preaching is a great thing. And a lot of people are now turning away their ear from preaching. A lot of church services today do not include preaching. In the church that I grew up in, there was an awful lot of ritualistic stuff, prayers, readings, and so forth, but there wasn't any preaching. The little bit of time that the pastor did address the people that came to church, there was a few words that were said about the text, but not real preaching. that would manifest itself in faith in Christ. But in the old days, you'll notice that when the great revivals took place in this earth, or in this country, that is, under people like Wesley and George Whitfield and Billy Sunday and D.L. Moody and people like that, Jonathan Edwards, they were preaching. They were preaching the word of truth, and the consequence of their preaching was faith in the hearers, and that faith was put in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So the word of truth is going to produce faith in Christ when it's preached. So it's a great tragedy to see churches today moving away from preaching. Now, a lot of churches that used to spend a lot of time in preaching have shortened the preaching services down to 15 or 20 minutes, and there's a great deal of time now involved in teaching. And teaching's good, but it won't replace preaching. It doesn't give you faith in Christ so much. It just tells you a lot more about what's in the Bible. Teaching's good, but it's not like preaching that really pounds into the soul. Paul was talking back there in Romans chapter 10. He says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher?" Without a preacher. So Paul wanted the word of God preached. And that's what gives faith in Christ, preaching of the word of truth. Now, and today a lot of this stuff is praise and worship, and the preaching has just gone out the window. Now, word that is not the truth is going to produce something totally different. And there is a lot of preaching today that is not the word of truth. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2 at verses 17 and 18. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, the word that's not truth is going to produce a canker or a cancer. "Their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and what's the consequence of this lie? And overthrow the faith of some." So preaching that is not the word of truth, or teaching that is not the word of truth, and our country, our world is filled with it today, is going to produce apostasy. It will overthrow the faith of many. All right, what's the second thing that the word of truth produces? Well, it produces love of the brethren. Look again in verse 4. "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, the love of the brethren." Well, that's a great word of truth then, a great word that is producing that kind of thing, because Jesus Christ said, when he was asked what the first commandment was, he said, "The first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, strength, mind, and heart. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So love of the brethren is very, very important. It is not more important than loving God, but when you have the word of truth in you, it is going to produce a love of the brethren. Look in Galatians chapter 5, and it has to. It has to. A lot of the love that is being talked about today is spoken love, but it's thin. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 shows you that true love, charity, vaunteth not itself, it's not puffed up, and it's not easily provoked, and it doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It's very hopeful. It's a type of love that really, really has the best interest of the other party at heart. And a lot of this love today is a very selfish love, and it's a very thin love. It's easily offended, and it's easily provoked. And the reason is it doesn't come from the word of truth. All right, now look in Galatians chapter 5 at verses 13 and 14. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." You see that? Now, how did that thing get produced? Well, that gets produced by the word. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Well, what's the word? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Where did that come from? That's Bible. That's Bible, that's law, that came from Leviticus 19, verse 18, and is found again in Romans chapter 13, verse 9. It's the word of truth. Look again in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 and look at verses 22 and 23. You're saved by the Word of God. And look what it produces. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, the word of truth, the truth, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by what? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So when you're born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God, your soul is purified in obeying the truth through the Spirit, and it produces an unfeigned love of the brethren, if it's real word and if it's real truth. Now, if you don't have that, something's wrong. Either you're not born again, or the word you have is not the truth. There's a proliferation of modern Bibles out there, many of which are not the truth. By that I mean, the one that is true from cover to cover is a King James Bible. The ones that change from that and alter from that are true in places, but not true all through and through. All right, so the word of truth is going to produce faith in Christ. It's going to produce love of the brethren. What else is it going to produce? It's going to produce hope in heaven. Look in verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, it's going to produce a hope in heaven. Whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Where did you hear about heaven? From the Bible. Where did you hear about the pearly gates? From the Bible. Where did you hear about golden streets? From the Bible. Where did you hear about Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of God? From the Bible. Where did you hear about the ascension? Where did you hear about all those things that are waiting for you in heaven, like a mansion, like the judgment seat of Christ, like the potential for rewards, like the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth? All of that stuff that you hope for. Where did you hear about that? In the word of truth. And you heard that. Look here in Romans chapter 8. Hope is a very important part of our salvation, because there's a lot of stuff in our salvation that is not yet complete. In Romans chapter 8, verse 24, we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we wait with patience for it, or then do we with patience wait for it? What am I waiting for? A glorified body. What am I waiting for? A chance to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, and all the other things that I've already mentioned. And I have hope in that because of what the Bible says about those things. I have hope for the destruction of the devil. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. Look in Titus chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Look in Titus chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. The Bible's a great book, but it's getting low-rated more and more every day. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifested His Word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now, God manifested eternal life through the preaching of the Word of God, and that was committed to Paul by the commandment of God our Savior. And what did that eternal life give you? Hope. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Because I don't have all of the benefits of eternal life now. One of the benefits of eternal life is that I will have a glorified body that will not die. No more death, Revelation 21:22 says. No more death. And yet, you know what? I've got a body right now that is going to die or change. That verse that I was quoting about no more death is Revelation 21:4. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Hey, we don't have that situation right now. But we will, and I have hope of that because of what I've read and heard preached in the Word of God. So, the real word of truth is going to produce faith in Christ, love of the brethren, hope in heaven. What else is it going to produce? Fruit. Fruit in the world. Look in verse 6. Which is come unto you as it is in all the world. That word of truth of the gospel that was heard there in verse 5 has come unto you as it is in all the world. It produces fruit. The word of truth is a very fruitful book. You know, the amazing thing about it is I have had people come to me and say, well, what about the so-and-sos in such-and-such part of the world, like the heathen in Africa? I don't know why they picked them. But nonetheless, they say, what about that, who haven't heard the word? You know what? The more I watch these missionaries go around the world, and the more I watch this missionary effort, there's not a place in the world where people don't know about God and about Jesus Christ. The world's going out, and I'm telling you what, it's bearing fruit everywhere. One of the greatest revivals in the world is taking place in southern India right now. There are people getting saved in communist countries where preaching the Word of God is illegal, forbidden by the government. And yet God's Word, by divine protection, has gone into those countries, and it is producing massive amounts of fruit. Look at Matthew chapter 13 at verse 22. Matthew chapter 13, look at verse 22. And notice what the Bible says about sowing the seed. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now you notice what you just saw right there. You saw two things. You saw something unfruitful, and then you saw something fruitful. The thing that bears fruit in the world is the Word of God, verse 23. He that heareth the Word and understandeth it. And then he's going to bear fruit. Some 100, some 60, some 30. Then you have this other group that received the Word in the thorns. And they become unfruitful. Now what are the thorns? Well, the thorns are found in Mark chapter 4, verse 19, and they're very prevalent in Christianity today. They're all over the world. We all have to battle them. I'm not saying that I don't have trouble with this and you do. We all do. But we got to keep these things down. We got to keep picking the weeds and we got to keep cutting down the thorns. What are they? They are the cares of this world. You got anything that's bothering you, that's worrying you, that you're careful about? Those kinds of things will slow you down in producing fruit. They sure tear me up. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the idea that you can make it if you could just have a little more money, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. Pleasures of the world are another one in the list in Luke. So pleasures, lust of other things entering in, deceitfulness of riches, and cares of this world will tear up that fruit production, and yet that word is to produce fruit in you. Now look over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul's talking about giving, but notice that once the gift is given, something is happening. 2 Corinthians 9:9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, we just read about that in Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So fruit in the world comes from sowing the seed of the Word of God. And that's what the Word of Truth produces. You're not going to produce fruit by sowing money, by sowing carnal concerns. I mean, setting up a hospital for physical needs is a great ministry, and it's needed. But don't expect that to produce fruit in the Word of God unless the sole purpose of setting that thing up is to minister the gospel of the grace of God to the hearers while they come to have their physical needs met, like Jesus when he healed people and preached the Word of God to them. A lot of these social care programs are meeting surgical and medical needs, but the gospel's not being preached alongside with it. They become more and more medical and less spiritual. And while it's a great help to the things of the flesh, it's not going to bear the fruit of the world until the Word of God is sown with it. All right, so the Word of Truth then produces fruit in the world, all over the world. The next thing it produces is knowledge of God's grace. He says here in verse 6, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. So the Word of God is what gives you knowledge of God's grace. Now, you know something? Every one of us, me, you, and everybody included, every one of us needs an abundance of the grace of God. We need it to be able to put up with each other. Because as individuals, we're not easy to put up with. We have fits and spells, and we have flesh, and so it makes it difficult for us to get along with each other unless we have the grace of God. We need grace in order to be able to get by temptation. Whenever you're tempted to go back into sin that you've now quit, you need the grace of God to give you the strength to withstand the temptation so you don't fall. You need the grace of God in order to be able to enjoy the full benefits of your salvation. And on and on and on, the benefits of grace are abundant. This is not a study on grace, but it's just to let you know, the more that you know about God's grace, the more you're going to be able to rely upon God's grace for everything you do. I need God's grace in an abundance to be able to get together the radio broadcasts and preaching training and other work that I do for preaching and teaching and preaching in the church and pastoring. Need an abundance of grace to be able to do all of that stuff. And the more that I know about God's grace from the Word of God, the more I can rely upon God's grace in those areas because I know what it will do. It would be a shame for you to have a great toolbox and a bunch of welding equipment and all that kind of stuff and not know how to use any of it. It would be a total waste. You need to know how to use equipment in order to benefit from it. You need to know about God's grace in order to benefit from it. Now, in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, Paul commends the Ephesian elders to the word of grace. Notice, he calls it the word of grace. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. See, the more grace, the more you build up. To give you an inheritance, the more about God's grace, the more inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to know more about that in order to do it. All right, the sixth thing that we then find from the Word of Truth in this text is that the Word of Truth produces faithful ministers of the gospel. Look in verse 7. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. A faithful minister of Christ. So faithful ministers of the gospel are produced by the Word of Truth. You know, you get the idea that faithful ministers are produced by seminaries. They're not. That they're produced by Bible schools. They're not. Faithful ministers are called by God and they are produced by the Word of Truth. There was an old slave named John Jasper who could not preach unless it was a white preacher, ordained preacher, sitting on the pulpit with him until slavery was abolished, he was given the right to preach any time that he wanted to, anywhere that he wanted to, whether there was a white man on his pulpit or not. And John Jasper drew large crowds, had a couple thousand people come hear him preach when a lot of these professional ministers that were seminary trained had 100 or 200 or 300 come to hear them preach, and they became envious and jealous, and they wanted to know his secret. So they had a meeting with him, and they asked him, John Jasper said, how is it that you can have so many people come to hear you preach and you're not trained? And we are trained and we don't have the crowds you do. What is your secret? He said, well, it's very simple. He said, when I get up a text and when you get up a text, we do two different things. When you get up a text, you go to the commentaries to find out what men have had to say about God's words. I, on the other hand, get on my knees and beg God to show me what he was saying in that text. And when I find out, then I get up off my knees and I get in my pulpit and I tell my people what God had to say about it. And he said, I'm going to tell you something. People don't care what men have to say about God's words. They want to know what God has to say about it. Now, there you go. So it's the Word of God that produces faithful ministers, just like Epaphras, our dear fellow servant who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. They have to preach the word. Look in Titus chapter 1 verse 3. Now, I'm not saying that it's not good to go to Bible school. I've done it. I'm not saying it's not good to go to seminary. People do it. But don't expect that that's going to make you a great minister. Paul says to Titus in chapter 1 verse 3, but hath in due times manifested his word, how? Through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, that this is what he was supposed to do with the Word. He said, preach the Word! Well, it ain't going to do you no good if you're not preaching it. And down here in Colossians, the chapter we're studying, chapter 1, all the way down in verse 25, Paul says, wherefore, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the Word of God. The thing that fulfilled the Word of God for Paul was that he became a faithful minister. So the Word of God produces faithful ministers of the gospel. All right, and then the seventh thing that the Word of God produces is it produces love in the Spirit. Now, we did talk about the love of the brethren as the second thing that the Word of God produces, but it also produces love in the Spirit. That is, that you are able to love lost people. You're able to love your enemies. You're able to love the Lord God. You're able to love the Word of God. You're able to love the brethren, the whole thing. When you have love in the Spirit, you're able to love the Word, which you need to do if you really love the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to love Jesus. You need to love the brethren. You need to love your enemies. You need to love lost souls. You need to love missionaries. And that's not possible if you don't have the love of the Holy Spirit in you. And if you do, you don't have to worry about faking it. You don't have to worry about telling people about it. All you got to do is yield, and the Holy Spirit will make it happen. Look what he says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Now, I realize this is in the context of some other things, but look at Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Hope maketh not ashamed. Well, the word of truth produces hope in heaven. Hope maketh not ashamed, because why? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, let me tell you something. When you're yielded enough to the Holy Spirit for the love of God to be shed abroad in your hearts, you won't have to worry about it. Lost souls are going to know you love them. Your enemies are going to know you love them. The brethren are going to know you love them. Jesus is going to know you love Him, and He's going to know you love His Word. That's the love in the Spirit that He was talking about here, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Old Paul gets off onto a racing start in opening the book of Colossians. I'm telling you, I'm excited about what we're going to study here, but more even so about what we've just learned today about the Word of Truth. Listen, you cannot neglect Bible preaching, Bible teaching, and your daily Bible reading and study. You cannot neglect it unless you want to neglect these seven areas of your life. Faith in Christ, love of the brethren, hope in heaven, fruit in the world, knowledge of God's grace, faithful ministry of the gospel, and love in the Spirit. Now, if you want to neglect those things and come up short in those things, then don't worry about going to church to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Then don't worry about listening to the teaching. Don't worry about studying it, and don't worry about reading. Just go on hunky-dory like you've been doing and let dust gather on the book. But if you want to grow in faith in Christ, love of the brethren, hope in heaven, fruit in the world, knowledge of God's grace, be a faithful minister of the gospel, and love in the Spirit, then you're going to have to get in that book and stay in that book and let the Word of God produce those things in you. Because it will. It will if you believe it. If you believe it. And have a humble attitude and mind toward it. It will. Guarantee.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.